2 Chronicles chapter 7 verses 1 to 6, the dedication of the temple. When Solomon finished praying, fire came down from heaven and consumed the burnt offering and the sacrifices, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. The priests could not enter the temple of the Lord because the glory of the Lord filled it. When all the Israelites saw the fire coming down and the glory of the Lord above the temple, they knelt on the pavement with their faces to the ground, and they worshipped and gave thanks to the Lord, saying, "He is good. His love endures forever." Then the king and all the people offered sacrifices before the Lord, and King Solomon offered a sacrifice of 22,000 head of cattle and 120,000 sheep and goats. So the king and all the people dedicated the temple of God. The priests took their positions, as did the Levites, for the Lord's musical instruments, which King David had made for praising the Lord, and which were used when he gave thanks, saying, "His love endures forever." Opposite the Levites, the priests blew their trumpets and all the Israelites were standing.
Let us pray. Lord, we thank you for your word and the reminder in this passage of your infinite power. We thank you that your love endures forever. We pray a blessing over Tim today as he unpacks this passage, and we ask you to fill him afresh with your Holy Spirit. Thank you that we have the opportunity and the freedom to praise you. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Morning, everyone. Great to see you. And yeah, let me add my welcome to you, to watching online, and to those in the building. Today, as Becca said, we are going to be talking about discovering intimacy, both with God and with others. Now, years ago, I was a student at Sussex University. I studied history there. And during my first year, I hit a kind of real low point spiritually. I was feeling really empty. God felt very distant from me. And I remember getting down on my knees one time in my bedroom and just praying a prayer something like, "God, there must be more than this. God, I need to know you more." And the reason I prayed that prayer is because what I was experiencing of God on one hand and of the world on the other, and I was trying to do both, just wasn't satisfying. It wasn't kind of meeting that kind of deepest hunger that I wonder if you know what it is to have. Do you know that hunger that I'm talking about? You know, that kind of feeling of restlessness, like nothing ever quite hits the mark. You know, when things feel like they're never quite what they could be. Do you ever feel disconnected, kind of lost, wondering, you know, what is life really all about? Do you long for a deeper relationship with God? A deeper relationship with others. You know, this lack of connection and relationship is a really huge issue in our society right now. A study of millennials, that's those born 1980 to roughly 1995, showed that despite all the opportunities of social media connection, this generation is feeling lonelier than any other. In fact, The Guardian reported just before the pandemic, one reporter wrote this: one YouGov poll found that nearly a quarter of all millennials could not name a single friend. The same survey showed that close to a third of this generation, he says, my generation, always or often feel lonely. And I read that and I thought, goodness me, how sad. You know, what a tragedy. You know, that all this loneliness that there is, and all the signs are that the pandemic has made that far worse rather than better, and that so often connected with that loneliness all kinds of other problems like mental health issues. You know, there's a generation emerging desperate for connection, and it's not just confined to that generation. We're seeing that across the board. So what's the answer? Well, way back in the 4th century, St. Augustine, following a desperate search for fulfillment through pleasure and achievement and kind of excess living, he wrote these very famous words. He says, "You, God, have made us for yourself, and our hearts are restless until they find their rest in you." And it's this restlessness and this search for intimacy that we're talking about this morning. You know, finding this rest that Augustine discovered can transform your relationship with God. It can transform your relationship with others. But I want to acknowledge that it's not a message that simply says, come to God and everything will be kind of sorted, full stop. Though there is a profound truth in that, coming to God. No, this problem of disconnection is a reality for Christians too. Though we have access to kind of better Bible teaching than ever, you can go anywhere in the world. You know, you can access the best worship bands. You can have so many different resources for studying the Bible, for prayer. Yet so many are saying, Christians are saying, they lack depth of relationship with God. Their personal experience of God is lacking. Why? What is going on? You know, when I prayed that prayer in my university bedroom, you know, God met with me in a special way. But actually, I've had to pray prayers like that many times since then. So I know what it is to pray with the psalmist, like, God, where are you? God, why have you kind of hidden your face? God, I don't understand. Where are you? Why do you feel so distant? Why? Well, that's what this better story is all about. It's about how the intimacy with God and with each other that was lost in the garden can be rediscovered. How God can be known as a friend like Abraham found. How God can be spoken with face to face like Moses discovered. How a divided family, as we've seen in this story, can become a united nation. How God's presence can be experienced in such a way that King David would say, I would rather just one day in God's presence than a thousand elsewhere. How can we experience God like that? Such that it affects our lives so completely. Well, that's what the temple is all about. It's about verse 1, as we read, God's glory, God's presence coming in power. It's about an invitation. It's firstly an invitation to draw near. We're invited to draw near. Why does God ask Solomon to build a temple? That's a question that King Solomon himself asks. He says in 2 Chronicles 8 verse 27, but will God really dwell on earth? The heavens, even the highest heavens, cannot contain you. How much less this temple I have built? Solomon asked the question that we all ask is, you know, can I really know God? Like here and now, or is God just going to remain distant and far off? And that's the clue to what this temple is all about. It's about heaven touching earth. So you think about a temple, you want to think heaven coming and touching earth. It's about how the God of heaven can dwell on earth. It's a replacement for the tabernacle of Moses, which was like a mobile kind of tent version of what Solomon builds. It's all about God's desire to be with his people wherever they went. And you might be wondering, so why does God need a temple or a tabernacle? I mean, surely God can go anywhere, any time. Well, of course he can. But the temple is revealing something very important about us and about God that we often forget. It reveals, as Becca said earlier, that he is the kind of holy, holy, holy God. The God who is, was, and is to come. This God whose power and majesty is beyond anything we could imagine. You know, it's not a small thing for sinners to step into the presence of this God. You know, when people meet God in the Bible, so often they end up on their faces like they're dead. To come in the presence of God is not a small thing. That's why if you were to walk into Solomon's temple, you would see, as Becca said, the first thing you'd see is this enormous altar of sacrifice. Before you could go any further, you would need a sacrifice for your cleansing. You know, sometimes we talk about coming into the presence of God in such familiar terms when he is so awesome that to be in his presence is astounding. It's astonishing. It should kind of take our breath away. You know, one of the things I love to do is I love to surf big waves if I can. And but one of the things with surfing is that even as I long for and look for these waves and go searching for them, I often find myself trembling in fear at their power, the power that could kind of snap me and my board in two. I mean, how much more should we tremble before the God who made everything? You know, the temple is there to reveal this in increasing measure. As you move into it, as you move past the altar of sacrifice, it's only the priests who can go into that holy place. And even then, that is not the place of God's presence. That is reserved for the most holy place. So I think we're going to have a picture up here. You see, you come in, there's this big altar. You go in to the most holy place where the priests minister. And then right at the back, where the cherubim and the Ark of the Covenant are, it's screened off by this huge curtain, which is like, you can't come here. Because holiness and sin, they just don't mix. And so people, the priests would go into there and be like, whoa, this is the most awesome thing. And the only person who could go into the most holy place was the great high priest. And he'd be able to go there once a year on the Day of Atonement to make sacrifice for the sins of the people. But we misunderstand the temple if we think, well, this is designed as a barrier for us to keep us away from God, to keep us out. No, our story, as we've seen in the better stories, we're already out. That's what's happened, isn't it? We've rebelled. We've put ourselves kind of away from God. And this is like God saying, well, here's an access point. I want you to draw near. Even with all your mess, I want you to draw near. But to be able to safely do that, here is the way to come. You know, God says, I want to dwell with my people. But in order for that to happen, we need to be honest about sin. We need to be honest about holiness. If you want intimacy with God, there can be no pretending. And that's a big challenge for our society because there's an awful lot of pretending going on at the moment, isn't there? You know, we pretend God doesn't care about sin. We pretend to be better than we are, to live happier lives than we do. We pretend to be a tolerant society. Seems to be one of our biggest values. But have you noticed how strange it is that we seem to be becoming more intolerant as the day go forward? You know, there's always this immediate risk of being cancelled, of being dropped by your friends, of being made an outcast. Stephen Fry recently said, it's a strange thing that liberals are illiberal in their demand for liberality. They are exclusive in their demand for inclusivity. This is a terrible pity. How have we got here? Our society says if you don't measure up, you get fired. You get cast out. One wrong tweet and you're done. Finished. That's the kind of new religion that divides people into the good and the bad. And you know, that is so different to God. You know, when we come to God, there is level ground. God says, none of you are good enough. I'm not good enough. But there is an altar of sacrifice for you to draw near because it's all of grace. Sacrifices are made, verse 1. And then the fire falls and the glory of the Lord comes. It's like the fire falls to say, sacrifice accepted. Come close. Draw near. And they worship God. Look, verse 3. Look, their faces to the ground. Again, because it's this awesome God. And they're saying, he's good. He's pure. He's mighty. He's holy. And his love endures forever. It's like, despite our story of rebellion and rejection of God, God has drawn us near, and we're so grateful, we're so thankful for this access to God. So how do we meet with God now that the temple is destroyed? Well, remember, the Old Testament is just a shadow of what is to come. So when Jesus comes, he says, well, one greater than the temple is here. Speaking of himself, he then says, destroy this temple and I will build it in 3 days. What's he talking about? He's talking about the place where heaven touches earth, which was the temple, has moved from the temple to be himself. So Jesus becomes the mobile temple. He's the place where heaven touches earth. So everywhere he goes, it's like, wow, heaven's breaking out. You know, people are getting healed. People are getting transformed. People are getting raised from the dead, because that's what happens when heaven touches earth. It's extraordinary. It's amazing. God works in amazing ways. And you think, okay, so Jesus is the temple. So where do I bring my sacrifice? To this new temple. And Jesus says, no, I'm also the sacrifice. I am going to give my life for you. That's what this cross is all about. If you know the account of Jesus dying, there's this extraordinary moment. At the moment Jesus dies, the kind of camera pans into Jerusalem, into the temple. And it says this. It says, at the moment Jesus died, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. That curtain that divided the people and the priests from the most holy place. It's like God reaches down and says, come in. The sacrifice has been made. Sin has been paid for. What does that achieve? Well, Hebrews 11 says this. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place, the place we have no right to be, by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened for us through the curtain that is his body. And since we have a great high priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart and with the full assurance that faith brings, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from guilt. Wow. And having our bodies washed with pure water. This is amazing. God invites us, because of Jesus, to go where we have no right to be in his awesome presence. You know, the altar that we come to doesn't just expose sin, it cleanses us. And this sacrifice is so amazing that it cleanses not just that moment or that day, but it cleanses our past, our present, and our future, such that we are always welcomed in. We're invited to draw near, to know God, to be known. That's wonderful. But do you know there's more? Much more. We're invited to draw near, but finally, we're also invited to be filled. There's even more to the temple than the temple itself becoming, being the place that heaven touches earth, and then Jesus becoming the place that heaven touches earth. The purpose, as Becca said earlier, is not just sacrifice. The purpose is this encounter with God. And so the Bible says something astounding about us. It says this, 1 Corinthians 3:16, don't you know, you yourselves are God's temple, and that the Spirit of God lives in you. That's astounding. Ephesians 2:22, and in him you too have been built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. So heaven touching earth, the old temple, Jesus becomes the place where heaven touches earth. What do his people become? The place where heaven touches earth. You and me, individually, but seemingly, especially corporately, as we come together. There is a presence of God that was only amazingly seen in the temple and in Jesus is now available. In 2 Chronicles, the whole temple is filled. Not one part is empty, and that is what God wants for his people. That's what's being pictured here. King Solomon comes after King David in the way the Holy Spirit will come after King Jesus. And Solomon kind of foreshadows in a building of kind of normal stones what the Holy Spirit is going to do with living stones, with people, where he is going to be present, where people can encounter him. That's what we see happening in Pentecost, where the fire of God's Spirit falls as if to say, sacrifice of Jesus accepted on your behalf. Filling is available for you. In 2 Chronicles 7, verse 6, they take their place, the Levites, the priests, the Israelites, standing. They're all ready to play their part in the temple. I wonder, are you ready to take your place in the living temple? You know, there's extraordinary detail in the building of the temple if you read it. It's like every little bit matters far more than you can imagine, and that is true for you and me. Our part matters so much. We are called to take our place so that we can be together the place of heaven touching earth. It's not supposed to be just me and God on my own. I'm called into a relationship with God's people, and together we're supposed to be that place where lonely people can find connection, where broken people can find healing. That's what the temple is about, where people can find reconciliation with God, and as they get reconciled to God, they get reconciled to one another. Perhaps there's a lonely person, a hurting person in your workplace, in your street, someone struggling with mental health who you could bring the presence of God to even tomorrow morning. You might be thinking, well, I don't have anything to offer. You know, and the church, goodness me, it's so far from perfect, isn't it? Often that's the bit we struggle with, because the church is full of people like me and you. You know, we're sinners who've made a mess. How does this living temple become the beautiful thing like Solomon's temple? Well, that's where we come back to where we started, because the basis of how we build and stay together is the same as how we drew near in the first place. It's grace. It's grace. That's how relationships are formed. That's how intimacy is discovered. It's how they thrive. It's how they continue. You know, the biggest barrier in a relationship with God or with one another is not getting things wrong. It's when there's no forgiveness. It's when there's no reconciliation. You know, our society in many ways is becoming more judgmental than ever. How wonderful for a people to emerge who are called not to judge, but to tell of the judge who gave himself for us and calls us into this better story. You know, can the presence of God, the glory of God, really fill my life, your life? Amen, because of Jesus, yes. Should we pray for that? Yeah? That's what we're going to do now. We're going to pray, because the whole point of this isn't just to know some information. The whole point of it is that we would become, even right now, the place where heaven touches earth. So I'm going to invite the band to come forward, and I'm going to pray. I wonder right now, is just in the stillness, do you need to draw near to God afresh? Is that kind of distance that you're feeling? Or maybe you need to draw near to God's people today in some way. If you need any specific prayer, there's a prayer room just open now that you can go to if you're watching online, and there'll be prayer available in the room later. I'm going to ask us just to pray together a very simple 3-word prayer. Come, Lord Jesus. Let's pray that together. Come, Lord Jesus. You might want to pray that again. Come, Lord Jesus. You might want to put your hands out in front of you. Just say, come. Hands ready to receive. Lord, we need you. We ask, bring us near. Lord, as we draw near to you, would you draw near to us? Thank you, you've won access for us. Lord, help us to take our place in the temple. Lord, would we be that people where heaven touches earth? Would we experience that right now? Lord, would we experience that Monday morning, I pray? Would we breathe and bring your life to those around us? Come, Lord Jesus.